Hey friends, and welcome to another edition of the Danny Morell Show. This is a very special one because we have Claudia Lorena here, aka formerly Claudia Morell. And I don't know why I'm a little bit nervous right now.
Yeah, this, I knew you would be.
I don't know why. I'm never nervous, but I'm kind of nervous. I'm kind of nervous right now, guys. You know, what we thought we'd do is we thought we'd have an episode, really an open conversation about relationships. In particular, our relationship really broken into like three phases. Like number one, kind of maybe what went wrong for us? What were some of the individual issues we were having that caused our issues as a couple? Number two,
where the mindset of relationships.
And the mindset of relationships.
I think that was the biggest thing.
Absolutely, for sure. Number two, you know, where the healing started to take place and how we started the healing. And then number three, where we are today, where like we really love each other. Our family is awesome. We're able to vacation together and coexist.
Yeah.
I think really well.
And that is due to, you know, plant medicine as well. So we'll go into that as well.
Absolutely. So, why don't we start off with this? Let's start off with the beginning. I'm gonna take ownership of some things and then I'll let you just kind of speak and share. One of the things during my healing process that I started to have to realize was that in our relationship, I'm gonna go ahead and say it because this is the word she uses. I didn't agree with it until now I'm starting to see it. But I was, how do you say this? Was I a narcissist or how do you say this?
You need help.
Huh?
You need help saying it?
How do you?
Narcissism.
Narcissism. And explain to them what it means.
So, wow. We're going there. I should have brought my book.
Essentially, it's a man.
So, it's not just a man. It can be a woman as well.
Oh.
It's somebody that just puts themselves first. And somebody that doesn't take into consideration or take accountability for their actions. Mm. Somebody that blames other people. You know, well, it's because of you. It's because of this. And also manipulates the situation so that you can feel at fault.
And
I want to, on the record, I didn't know I was doing any
no,
of this
correct.
Stuff.
A lot of narcissists do not know that they are doing this. It's a natural trait that they picked up potentially from their father or their mother. So it's a learned behavior, and it's actually their form of feeling a sense of love. This is how they were shown to love.
Yeah.
So I think that... However, it is hard for them to step out of that and those, you know.
Tendencies.
Yeah.
So I want to speak on this. This is something that I've learned as I've been healing, but there's three types of males out there. There's the alpha male, the beta male, and then there's the true alpha male. And I won't go into too many details, but in essence, what an alpha male is what I was at the time. Like when you say narcissist, I think alpha male based off of my studies that I have done.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a male who seeks and wants power.
100%.
That's their pleasure principle is power. They want to feel power. They want to have power. They want to show power.
At any expense, too.
At any expense.
It doesn't matter who they're putting down or what they're doing. It's just, and they're not conscious of it. They just want power.
And I'm going to share now that I've learned and I've been healed, the reason why I wanted power so badly. I was competitive. I would put anybody down that wasn't working on my team. I wanted to be highly, highly successful. I had to have the newest car and the flashiest watch and all of these things. You know, the reason why I needed all of that was because I didn't realize when I was a little boy, my mother's mom died the day after she was born.
Mm-hmm.
and you receive love from your mother. So as an infant, where a human being learns to get love is from the mother. And so if the mother is missing, you don't ever really get to feel that love. Well, when I was growing up, my mom had a very difficult time, you know, hugging me and caressing me and telling me I love you, so forth and so on. So in essence, even though I know she loved me, mm-hmm. I felt very like alone, very disconnected. Combine that with the fact that we grow up poor. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. And I'm the oldest and my father's not around.
Yeah.
Get ready, because a monster will be created.
And a monster was created.
It really was. And so, you know, I lived my life through this principle of power and, you know, go, go, go. And you see this a lot on social media right now.
And, you know, and this is all true. However, you still had a good heart.
Oh, yeah, I never.
So that was the thing, though. I will say that, because even though when we first met, your heart was good, your intentions were good, and you had good morals, right? And so, and that's what I saw, mm-hmm. you know, and that was far greater than that, the alpha male narcissist behavior, you know. And so to me, I saw that, but being in a relationship with somebody like that, it was like, hello, remember that good heart you have? Like, hello. And I was just still hoping and praying, like, you're going to come back to those, that good heart, that good morals, those good morals, like those good things. And, you know, like, bring it back. And so it was like a waiting show, you know, it was like, kind of like, no, I believe in him. I believe that that's going to still happen, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so.
And it's interesting, because while you were thinking that, here's what I was thinking. And this is what most men think.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I provide for my family.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to worry about money,
mm-hmm.
right? You have a beautiful home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have all these things,
mm-hmm.
right? But there was no love.
There was no love.
There was no connection. There was no unity.
I would be home with the kids, and I would literally, you would walk in and be like, yes, he's home. I get to talk to him. And then shut off, completely shut off.
And I would think, well, I worked hard all day,
mm-hmm.
you know? And this is why we wanted to do this show. We wanted to do this show because hopefully you can see, like, mm-hmm. through our life,
mm-hmm.
what you might be living through.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, we're going to show you some ways that you could help.
And, you know, and it's interesting because, and so it was years of that, like him coming home and then not just being present and just disconnected. And so it was hard for me, like as stay-at-home moms, you know, you're with your kids all day and then you want to come home to your, you know, I mean, your husband comes home and you're just like, let's talk about like what I went through today too. You know, like I have so many things to talk about. And I never got that. And so many stay-at-home moms never get that because
yeah.
they're tired. They worked all day and it's just, and then it's just keeps going. And, you know, I felt, and because that was years of building up, I felt miserable. Like
sure.
I was so miserable. Like I was like, this is some bullshit. So then resentment came. I was like, well, screw it. You can make your own dinner. Like it was just became like, this isn't who I want to be. This isn't the life that I want it to be. You can cook for yourself.
Yeah. So then while this was going on, you know, I was feeling resentful towards you because in my head, I obviously know way different now, But in my head, I was thinking, you know, I make the money, I bring home. Why don't you cook? Why don't you mm-hmm. clean? Why don't you, you know, do your part type of deal? But you weren't motivated to, you weren't inspired to. I didn't give you a reason to, and I didn't allow your heart to flourish in a way where you wanted to
yeah.
reciprocate.
Yeah.
And I do want to say something that we might get a little deep here, and some of you might get bothered by this. We're both really, I think, good people in our core.
Mm-hmm.
We have high morals and great values.
Mm-hmm.
And so we kind of were like hanging in there and staying together, even though there wasn't love. There wasn't like, I mean, like I love you, you know what I'm saying? Like I, but there wasn't like, that. There wasn't like that. And we were just hanging in there for the sake of hanging in there.
Because
and
that's what we saw our parents do.
Because that's not only that, but that's what society tells you you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And I'll say it, that's what religion tells you to do. And we were both just so, I guess, coachable. We were like, Claudia, I think I've showed you this, shared this with you, but I felt for years, like 10 years, I felt like I was in a cage.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't talk to you. We didn't have that, you know? Mm-hmm. But here was the thought that would go in my head. Mm-hmm. Well, this is just the way the rest of my life is going to be,
because
I'm not getting divorced, so.
And I used to think, oh, it'll get better when the kids are older.
I used to think, fuck, what am I going to do when the kids get older?
Yeah.
Isn't this crazy? This is.
I'd be like, you know, back to the, you know, you couldn't talk. And I will say this to you, Danny. I think that, you know, as I know you, you're not very comfortable. Now it's different, but you're not very comfortable with expressing your feelings.
Men aren't.
And I'm dealing that with even with our oldest right now. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, no, say what you're thinking, say what you're feeling, say it, you know? And so, so even with my boys now, I'm very, express what you're feeling. What is it that you're going through? It's okay. And that's something that you didn't feel comfortable, but I don't think it, I think it's because you didn't know how to express it as
and
well.
It was because I wasn't connected to my heart.
Correct. And for me too. Yeah. And so I didn't know how to receive someone's feelings as well. Like, so right. It was complete defense mechanism. Complete. And so I'd be like, well, this.
And I would always tell you that. Why are you so defensive?
Yeah. Because it was offensive.
Right.
Because we didn't know how to deal with feelings. Yeah. And so now it's, I mean, we're still human, so there is bickering, right? But now we can hear each other, mm-hmm. and say, okay, I can see that I'm falling back into my old traps. Let me take a breather and then let's move forward. Just like even the other day, you know, we were able to pick up on that.
Yeah, we were. And we caught ourselves.
Yes, and I think that was really nice because you trigger me a lot. And I was able to overcome it.
On that note, I want to talk to something. This is very important.
You trigger me a lot.
So.
Shit.
See, what I want to say is you trigger me a lot too, but I'm just going to.
You're so good.
Because I'm so, you know.
Yes.
All right, but I do want to say something. You know, I'm reading an incredible book right now, and it talks about how society in general, if you think about it, guys, there's really an attack on us in two fronts. You know, I think number one for the men, men don't know or don't feel comfortable with expressing their emotions.
Yeah.
And that's why when Kobe died, I think that's kind of why the universe allowed that to happen, because for that little period of time, men cried.
Yeah.
And men forgave other men. Men forgave, I know relationships were healed, parents, all of this stuff. It was beautiful. And I just thought about Kobe the other day because I'm watching an interview with Paul Gasol, and Paul Gasol is like Kobe's friend. And the guy shows Paul Gasol a clip of Kobe speaking, saying great things about Paul Gasol. And Paul Gasol starts to get emotional. And I see him go like this, like hide it. And I said, see, that's what's wrong. Mm-hmm. Why don't you just cry?
Yeah.
Why don't you just cry? Why don't you just let it rip, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's what's wrong with men. Men today in our society are not connected to their emotions. And when they are, they're thought of as feminine or whatever the case may be. On the women's side, we have two attacks. We have, you know, granted, I agree with women's rights, inequality of pay, so forth and so on. But women in general are just getting really aggressive, really almost manly-like, mm-hmm. you know?
Because they're not
connected to the divine spirit.
The divine spirit, uh-huh. Yeah.
Because there's power in the divine spirit.
Yeah.
There's so much power if you just really tap into that.
Right.
And you can still, we don't need to, there's the balance of the masculine and the feminine spirit.
That's another podcast.
Yeah, but I think the
actually, that'd be a good seminar to help people with that.
There's so much power in just being that feminine, being in the role of the feminine spirit,
yeah.
And just kind of sitting back and being like, okay, I'm gonna let this take its course. And then react.
Sure.
You know, one of the biggest things that I'm learning right now is being responsive or response versus reactive. Mm. And that little space in between is the most powerful, because you're able to sit and be like, okay, I'm not going to be reactive.
Right.
Because that is emotional.
Right.
And you have to be, there's no emotional intelligence. Mm-hmm. When you're being reactive. So you have to sit in that tiny little space and just be like, and then respond.
Yeah.
You know, that's the biggest thing, but that was off. But back to the men.
Yeah.
You know, one of the other biggest thing that that sits with me as well is there's strength in not being so strong.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so huge for men and for women.
Yeah.
It's okay. There's so much strength in being vulnerable.
Yeah.
And so many men, so many humans are so scared to be vulnerable because they think that they're going to be a victim.
Well, I think it goes deeper than that, Claudia. I think if you look at it, you know, think about how many, you know, in all communities, but think about the minority community, for example, where you're thinking of, you know, African American and Hispanic males who, you know, either your father isn't around, or you're taught to be, you know, macho or whatever, or quite frankly, you were let down by your parents. And this is in all communities.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you feel let down by your parents, right? I know I've just heard crazy stories through our work, but what starts to happen is you start to create, your ego starts to create a defense mechanism. And you literally, your personality changes,
mm-hmm.
because you don't ever want to feel let down and pain ever again.
Mm-hmm.
So you become this guy or this girl who's going out there to tackle the world and say, no one is ever going to hurt me again, right? Mm-hmm. Well, that's not who you really are, though.
Mm-hmm.
Who you really are is love.
Yeah.
You know, who you really are is love. And you'll never know that until you get past that ego mind. And we're going to talk about how to do that in a second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also back to the parenting, like parents and stuff. And those were our models even through our relationship, mm-hmm. you know. And so the mindset of you got to stick it through. You got to stick it through, you know. And
honestly, I ain't sticking through anything that doesn't make me 100% happy. Flat out.
I am so thankful to be where I am.
I love my freaking life.
Yes.
Yes.
Me too.
And I have never, in my entire life been able to truly say those words and mean them.
Yeah.
And that has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
No, it has to do with the healing process we've been through. So can we talk about that?
Yeah, let's talk about that. Well, yeah.
What was it like for you?
What?
Your healing journey,
okay.
Like, which I know was massively painful.
Yeah.
The healing journey, and you know what? It's never, you know, I caught on to something that you said. You said, I'm healed from that. And I want to correct you in that. You're healing.
Mm.
You're never healed. And so the healing process begins, but it never ends. It's continuous. It's going and it's going because you're evolving. You're not just, I'm healed. Donezo. Like it's all, I'm good now. No, it still comes back. That's, you know, for me, 37 years of the same programming.
Mm-hmm.
You think you're done after one, you know, ceremony? No, you're not. It opened up so that you can see what needs to be healed. And then it's a matter of reprogramming for the rest of your life.
Sure.
Because, you know, I remember one time somebody came up to me and was like, oh yes, I did this and I'm healed. And I was like, no, there's still a lot of stuff that you need to work on. And it comes at you at different ways. Like,
What was the biggest thing you needed to work on? I know what mine was. What was, if you could, if it, there was one word.
Control. So I also went through, I had somebody guide me through my gene keys. And basically it's a blueprint of your DNA and how you are programmed, mm-hmm. right? And one of my shadows is control. And one of my, it's one of my biggest shadows. And then when they said that
oh,
to
I
me.
Oh, I know that shadow very well.
Shut up. And so when they said that to me, but haven't I been working on it?
You have been working on
yes.
it.
Yes. So.
I'm very proud of you.
Yes. And I'm very, so when they said that to me, I was like, oh my gosh. And that was the hardest part, even through the separation of letting go, because I was so in control. And that's why, I will tell you this, that's why I did a bodybuilding competition, because it was the only thing in my life at that time that I had control over.
That's crazy that you recognize that.
Oh yeah, I knew it right away, and I was like, that makes complete sense, because I did my meal plans. I was like, this is the only thing I could control right now. And so I did my meal prep, and everything was on point, and I did so well.
Can I ask you a question?
What?
A deep underlying question.
What?
I have this thought that the bodybuilding world oh. is the most unhealthy world around. Could you see how, emotionally speaking, there's something to your need.
Well, it's just like with any addiction. Uh-huh. So yes, just like if you are any obsession.
Right.
So if you're obsessed with anything and there's no balance, then yes. Mm. But if it's taking away your spirit, that's why I did two shows, right? Mm-hmm. And then the next show, I want to do a third show. But I couldn't do it.
No,
and I was like, why can't I do it? It was because literally I had let go. I had surrendered to that.
That's awesome.
And I couldn't. And I was like, I'm trying. And I was just like, that's not who I am anymore.
Right.
Because I don't need to prove a point to anybody.
Anybody. Right.
So it was really. So I was doing. And then I realized I wasn't doing it for me. I was doing it to show that I can do this.
It's so interesting you say that.
And I think that's what a lot of people get stuck doing.
Well,
you know?
let's talk about men now. Like, I know it was interesting, you know, when it came to, I mean, I just lived a life, you know, previously in my mind where all I thought about was the next car, the next watch, the next private jet, the next this. And it wasn't even, honestly, now I know it wasn't for me.
And
it was to show the world that I'm not this broke kid from the ghetto anymore. And I say that because now, you know what makes me happy? Watering my freaking trees. These are my babies. Like literally feeding my little fish. Going for a hike on the mountains. Something happens when you are connected to your true, authentic self. Mm-hmm. The things you thought you needed in this world no longer matter.
And you know, during our marriage, I had a really hard time with that because I was always that person.
Mm-hmm.
And I would, like, you would be into this and I'd be like, fuck, I hate this. I always hate it. I'm just like.
But you know what? This is so powerful. You just went along with it.
I did, because that's what we had to do. That's what I thought we had to do in a marriage.
And that's not you being your authentic, happy self.
No, I hated it. Yeah. I hated every single time you'd be like, I got this watch. I'm like, that's stupid. And then, but mind you, some of the stuff is nice. Like, you know, I get it, but it's just like, I can see that he was driven by it. Mm. It identified him.
It controlled me.
Yes, and so like, I liked nice stuff, but it didn't identify me. It wasn't like, oh, I need this to feel this way. It was like, oh, this is nice. Okay, cool. I'll keep it.
Whatever.
Yeah. And so, and I always saw that in him and I didn't know how to, well, you can't tell that to an alpha male / narcissist. Like you can't say that mm-hmm. because it's like, yeah. And if I did, then their behavior would be
what's
like,
wrong
you're
with you?
Negative.
Yeah.
You just think small.
You're doubtful.
Yes. Yeah, it was just constant.
Think bigger.
Think bigger. You just need to think big. And I'm like, oh, well.
Okay. I guess I do or whatever.
I guess so. Yeah. And so then what? It was just an ongoing. Now I'm like, I just stay quiet. Well, now he's not like that. But I'm just saying like now, you know, it's just different now. It's completely different.
So I'm loving this.
Back to control.
I was gonna.
Go.
Okay. You just try to control that, by the way. But no,
I didn't. Because I wanted to go back to it because it's relatable to my kids and parenting.
Oh, please do. Please do.
So back to control. The reason I want to go back to that is because when I found that shadow of mine, I realized how I implemented that in raising the kids. And, you know, like, you got to do it this way. This is, this way. And so it was a big, big eye opener for me. And I'm so grateful for it because now I've learned that I brought these children into this world. This wasn't their choice. We brought these children into this world. It wasn't their choice. So they don't owe me anything. These are these children that are brought into this world and that are going through their journey.
Their journey.
And I have to give them the space that they need, and I'm going to give them the guidance.
Right.
So it's hard. It's when they're my biggest teachers right now because they're the only relationship that I'm constantly working on, right? And I'm so grateful for them because they have taught me so much about who I am. Mm-hmm. And but not controlling them has been huge for me. And I'm like, is this request or this me, you know, disciplining them coming out of control? Or where is
or
this
love
coming
and guidance.
From? Yes.
Yeah, I love that.
Yes. Even, you know, the other day when they got in trouble for schoolwork, you know,
right.
I thought about it and I said, am I mad because they did bad in school or am I mad because they lied to me?
But you see, that's what a conscious being does.
Yes.
A conscious being thinks. Everybody else reacts.
Yes. And so, you know, unfortunately in that situation, I need to apply that in parenting. Mm-hmm. And I reacted. And I thought to myself that I did this because I was hurt that they lied. It was out of my control.
Yeah.
And so yeah.
On my end, yours was control. Mine was guilt. I have been ridden with guilt my entire life. First, growing up as a Catholic. Mm-hmm. Forget about it. You're made to feel guilty over absolutely everything. Mm-hmm. You know, I can remember, that's why I have a tattoo right now. I can remember being controlled literally by guilt and fear and manipulation, even from like my parents, from everybody. I remember my mother would tell me growing up, tattoos are for bad people. Mm-hmm. I never saw that. Mm-hmm. But I had guilt in it, you know? And every move I would make, you know, I would always think about what are people gonna think, you know? And so here I am, I'm in a relationship that I'm unhappy in, you're unhappy in, and I wanted to break out of it. I didn't know how. Well, when I finally did, I had massive, massive guilt. I had guilt over, you know, the boys, what am I doing to them? I had massive guilt over you. I would see pictures of you guys like on your own. And I would have guilt over, like, you know, here's the mother of my kids and my boys, and like I should be in the picture, and you know, what are you doing, Danny? There were moments where, you know, like Aaron would cry when he was a baby, and he would say, remember that one? That one tore me up when he pointed at the seat and he pointed at you. He's like, he wanted me to go with you guys, and it was just so difficult because I also at the same time saw a brighter future. Like I saw this. I saw us being able to be a family and a happier family, acknowledging our true desires and our true wishes, you know? Mm-hmm. And I believe that I have healed from the influence of guilt in my life now. I don't deal with it as much anymore. It is still a process, but that was major for me, major. And I will say it feels good to be liberated and to not live under that pressure from anything, from society, from religion, from anything. It feels incredible to just be your authentic self and not be controlled by anything, guilt, fear, you know, whatever the case may be. But there is one thing that I will tell you helped us tremendously, and that was the use of plant medicine.
Yeah.
Which I was afraid of and never used because of guilt and fear. Mm-hmm. I remember I was introduced to plant medicine for the first time 10, 11 years ago. Mm-hmm. And immediately, because of, you know, the guilt of religion, I thought to myself, oh no, that's the devil. You know, that's mm-hmm. that's evil, that's Satan, you know, whatever the case may be. And it's just so interesting to me that, you know, at 21 years old in this country, it's like a rite of passage, and we get to drink alcohol. Alcohol is like, it's like the worst thing you could do. It's like poison to your body, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think to myself, what would this planet be like if at 21 years old, everyone was shown to have their first plant medicine ceremony? Do you know how much healing, mm-hmm. how much love, how much happiness, how much joy? Mm-hmm. But why don't we? And this is the big message that I have for you. We don't, simply because of the truths that have been implanted into our minds that aren't even our truths. They're truths that someone put into us. And that for me was big. My first journey with ayahuasca was an absolute game changer. Mm-hmm. My second, another, my third. I've now done 10 ayahuasca ceremonies, one mushroom ceremony. And it was interesting, the minute I got back, I was literally, I'm not supposed to say this, I was mid-ceremony when I called you for the first time. I FaceTimed her. I was literally like in the spirit world. I said, I gotta call Claudia, right? As I'm looking at my phone, and back then the energy with us was thick, man, was thick. You were in New York.
I was in Philadelphia.
You were in Philadelphia. And I remember I called you, and I don't know what I told you exactly, but I said, I'm sorry. Uh-huh. You know, I said, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry for who I was, for what I did. I love you. I want this to work out. I want us to be friends. I will do whatever I can. And I remember your face. I'll never forget this. Your face went from like this to like, and you started crying, mm-hmm. and you started tearing up. Because I think it was the first time you heard the real me.
And I heard, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and you heard you're sorry.
And it was authentic.
It was genuine. It really was. Because that's what ayahuasca showed me. Mm-hmm. Ayahuasca showed me that my whole life I had been living from fear. Thus the butterfly on my chest. She showed me, I'm about to transform your life. Mm-hmm. And I will forever be grateful. Forever mm-hmm. be grateful. And then I also said, Claudia, no matter what you do, you have to come do this. Mm-hmm. You have to come do this. Because it's the mother of my kids. Not only that, but I love you and I want the best for you. I want the best for all of humanity.
Yeah.
And I found the path, the secret. Here it is. It's right here. It's in this little drink. And you went. What was your experience?
It took me 6 months. Uh-huh. A little over 6 months to finally go. And I wanted to prepare myself for it too. Because Danny is very like, everybody needs to go and do this. And this is like, no, hold on, you know. And so I wanted to prepare my spirit and my mind for it. And so I had been working with a womb shaman for some time. And I had told her, I was like, I want to go. And then she said, okay, let's prepare you for this. And so we did some belly work, and so she's like, okay, let's do this. And I'm so thankful that I had her I had been going to her, because my first plant ceremony, she was like, what are your intentions? These are your intentions. And I want you to grieve. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I had no idea what the fuck she was talking about. I had no idea. And so then the first day I go to a ceremony and I was just like, you know, they were like, write your intentions. I was like, at this point, it doesn't matter, because, you know, Pachamama knows exactly what she's going to do. And she knows my intentions, and she's going to bring up whatever needs to be brought up. So I'm in ceremony, and literally I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Yes, yes. And then all of a sudden from like, you see things, right? And all of a sudden from like the corner pops up Danny. And I was like, what are you doing here? And I was just like, what are you doing here? And I was like, you.
Get him out of here.
And I was like, why are you here? And I was like, you hijacked my life. You're going to hijack the ceremony too? Are you joking? And so, and then immediately I just started crying.
Yeah.
Crying and crying and crying. I was just like, no, you can't do this. You can't do this. You can't hijack my ceremony. It's been so good. And then in the ceremony, it's like, it shows you like the dark and then the good and then the dark and then the good. And I just grieved so much our relationship. And I was, you know, the bad, the ugly. And it was just like, ugh, you know, so gross. But
did you purge?
Oh, I purged.
Yeah.
You know, it was interesting because I had my shawl that I had, and I didn't want to. Now, I needed to release a lot, and even while I was in ceremony, I was crying, but I was crying in silence, and I was like, I had a shawl, and I was just covering my face and just crying. But now I'm a big believer of releasing that to make room for healing, for good energy.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that I regret, not letting it out more. But yeah, so I did purge a lot, and I cried a lot. And you would come in, and you would come out, and then you would come in. And I was so mad at you, so mad at you. But then at the end of the ceremony, what I saw was you and I celebrating love.
Mm.
And you and I holding hands and saying, like, this is love, and this is unity, and we can do this.
Right, yeah.
And so there I felt, this is our new roles.
This is our roles, yeah.
This is our new modern family, and this is what we are supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's when I felt like, no, and I can freely say, I love you.
Yeah.
Like, I care for you. You are my family.
Oh, you're my family.
And so, this is it.
It's interesting, but last night, I was going to bed and I was gonna shut off the phone. But, like, you don't know this, but I leave the phone on just in case, because I always think about you. Like, I always think about you and the kids, and in case you need anything, like, I wanna be able to get up and, like, go to you guys. And that's the thing that I think both of us wanted all of you to hear. Because I know I have deep conversations with men who are going through this right now. There is love on the other side of this.
There really is. There's healing. There's the healing. A lot of healing needs to be done.
Yeah.
A lot of forgiveness. And a lot of forgiveness. And I think that has been... and also the vision for your family.
You have to have a vision.
And I think we've always had that.
We have.
We've always had that.
We
even
have.
When, you know, when we had the businesses, and we always had, this is what we're going to, the goals, everything.
Right.
We always had the vision
we
for the family.
We wanted to travel with the kids.
Yes.
We wanted to be free. We wanted to be.
And, you know, the business goals were, it was our family goals. Like,
right.
We always did that. So that was very important, even now, having that vision for our new family.
Yeah.
And so so when we always, I mean, we kind of briefly mentioned, like, we can travel together and do trips together, but 2 years ago, that was not.
No. No.
No.
I feel more comfortable taking a trip with you now than I did when we were married.
Yeah.
I feel
because
way
you know what?
Better.
You know what's interesting, Danny, you say that? That's very true, because there's no expectations.
There's no expectations.
And that's
there's
what
no
it is.
Role I must fill.
Exactly.
And there's no...
And I have no expectations of you letting me down.
No. We're
so
just hanging
no,
out.
There's no expectations, and then you're just not going to let me down. Like, he's just going to, whatever, do himself and just whatever. And
why do you say it like that?
Because that's usually...
Wait, we just went on a trip together. How did I let you down? Or what?
No, you didn't let me down. You're just going to be yourself. You didn't let me down. And that's
which
typical.
Is a pretty fucking badass self, if I may say so myself. Thank you very much.
Danny, you know, just on the couch.
When was I on the couch?
I got when breakfast.
When was I on the couch?
I'm just kidding. Okay, I'm just kidding.
What is going on?
I will tell you this. What I was doing.
I remember getting
breakfast,
up.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I was doing it for the kids, right? And then it was Mother's Day morning. I was like, I woke up. I said, I'm not doing anything. He was like, why not? And I said, because I don't want to.
And I did it.
I know, and you did it.
Okay.
So that was just an example.
And I remember waking up every morning, going for my run, coming back, grabbing the family. I don't remember being on the couch at all.
No, I know. I was kidding.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure.
Sorry, Danny.
All right, good. Fantastic. So, what does the future look like for you? If you were to wrap it all up, obviously, what does the future look like? What do you see? And before you say that, I want to say something. There's this terminology that people like to use. It's called do it for the kids. Mm-hmm. I don't believe in do it for the kids. I believe in do it because of who you want to be and the values you want to uphold and the future you want to have. And as a result of that, the kids will benefit from that. So like, I'm not nice to you, or I don't love you, or I don't work things out with you, or I don't, you know, I don't have the relationship I have with you because of the kids. I would never do that. I have it because I genuinely, that you're the mother of my child. Like, what else am I supposed to do? Mm-hmm. You know? And I think vice versa.
So, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because I'm healing for the kids, because I want to break that generational wounds. Mm-hmm. And so, because it can stop here, it can stop with the kids. So saying that I'm not doing it for the kids.
I meant like, you know, people getting along for the kids.
So, correct. You know, but it's not that I'm getting along for the kids. It's I want to be an example to the kids. And that's the thing. I want to be an example to the kids. I want them to see that no matter if someone's hurt you or someone's done you wrong, I want you to know that you can forgive them and love them.
Yeah.
And you can still see the beauty in them.
Yeah.
And that's why I did it for, you know, that's how you can, I can say that I did it for the kids.
I love that.
And I wanted to be, and show them, like, if I can do it, you guys can do it for each other.
Absolutely.
Because how many families have siblings that don't get along or don't talk to each other? If I can do it, you boys can do it. You guys will be united forever.
Right. Yeah.
So in a sense, I did do it for the kids.
I love that.
You know?
Yeah. I was speaking more of in terms of
stick together
and
be miserable. Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't do that for the kids. No. Absolutely not.
Because you're actually hurting them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. That's different. Like when people say that, you know, you got to stick together and be married for 20 blah, blah years for the kids. Wait until they get older. No. Hell to the no.
Just
I would not
your
do
that. Life.
Yeah. I would not do that for the kids' sake because they're miserable. And then I'm miserable and everybody's fine.
Everybody's miserable.
Yeah. Plant medicine has been a beautiful thing for our family. And I am very grateful for it. And it's been the biggest blessing. And
it's been work.
It's been work.
But
and
we're
it's
here.
And the thing is, like, he's doing his journey and I'm doing my journey.
Sure.
And I don't share too much with him because it's not safe for me. You know, it's not safe for me. And that's not to say, it's just not safe for me for my healing, you know?
Sure.
But that's the one thing we're not healing together. Mm-hmm. Like, he's doing his thing and I do my thing. Absolutely. And I think that is crucial.
But then when we come together, because of the healing,
yeah,
it makes it all flow. It makes it all work.
Yeah.
So, how do they find you, see you, know about you, contact you?
562. No, just kidding.
No, like Instagram, you mean? Oh, so it's Claudia Lorena _4 on Instagram. And then on Facebook, it's Claudia Lorena Aguilar on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. And then I have a Rising with Grace, a women's community as well.
Highly recommend.
And where we talk about healing, actually. And it's Rising with Grace _1. So it's a beautiful community of women that we have created, my partner and I. And it's just where we get together. And I'm a big believer that when women come together and we heal, we're more powerful. And my journey is not any different than the girl next to me. Yeah, you may be going through different trials and different situations, but we still deal with the same emotion. And when we come together and lock arms, I think it's more powerful when, as you start healing and going through that journey. It's a scary road to start healing, but you're not the only one. Yeah. So I'm a big advocate for it. So many women feel lost and feel like, I'm the only one that's going through this. No, you're not. So, yeah.
And I think we could end it at that.
I think there was one more thing. Oh, you had asked me where you see.
Oh, yeah. So where do you see? What's your vision?
As far as what, though?
It's for the future of the family.
Oh, for the family. Oh, for the family, I see a lot of, respect and boundaries, and I see the boys living a healthier life as spiritually. I see a lot of traveling together, and I see, his partner, and I see my partner respecting all of that and adding two new bonus people to our family. And I really do see beauty in that. I mean, it would be two smart individuals that understand that concept. So that's what I see. I see a lot of love, respect, and boundaries.
I see ditto. So I'm going to leave it at that. I hope you guys have enjoyed this episode. How was it? That was good.
It was good.
We did good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I thought so. I hope you guys have enjoyed this week's episode. Please share it. There's a lot of couples that, and even just humans, because we just talked in general about a lot of different things, that could use this open dialogue. If you would do us a favor, please make sure that you give the show a review, give it a 5 or 4 star rating, and leave your genuine comments. It really helps us tremendously to boost viewership and ultimately help more people. And until next time, we will see you again very, very soon on the next episode. Take care. Bye-bye.